have to forgive me. My nose is clogged up, so I'm going to have to suck on a cough drop while I preach. So if you hear that banging around in my mouth, I apologize. But if I don't, you may not be able to understand me. My nose gets clogged up. I'm going to go over a lesson that I've preached before, had on Bible Talk before, so you've maybe heard it two or three times, but I think it's a good lesson to go over. It ties with what we're doing here this morning. And my lesson's entitled The Isaiah Prophecy, and if you would turn to Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52, and we'll start at verse 13. We'll read the last part of chapter 52 and all of 53, and then we will compare several of the verses with New Testament scriptures to show that these prophecies were fulfilled and spoken of by apostles and men of disciples of Jesus in the New Testament. So we'll start in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle or startle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told them, they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall consider. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of Jehovah been revealed? For he shall grow up before him a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And Jehovah has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before the shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And he was taken from prison and from judgment. Then who will declare his generation, for he was cut off from the land of the living? For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they, or he, made his grave with the wicked. But with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased Jehovah to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Jehovah shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By the knowledge of my righteous servant, by his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressor. Now, this was a prophecy, obviously, by Isaiah. Isaiah lived on the earth somewhere between 740 and 681 B.C. So how can we be sure who Isaiah is talking about here? Well, we can look at the New Testament to find the answer. I got to thinking when I did this lesson, where's the best place to start when you're looking for the prophecy being fulfilled by Isaiah and who Isaiah is talking about here? And that's in Acts chapter 8. If you would turn to Acts chapter 8. story we've all heard many times about the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts chapter 8, we'll start at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet speak, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. So you can see without any doubt, after reading this particular passage of Scripture, that Isaiah chapter 53 is talking about Jesus. So let's go back to Isaiah. You might want to put your marker in Isaiah chapter 53 there, because we're going to be going back and forth for the next few minutes of the lesson, comparing Scripture from Isaiah to some New Testament passages. Some spoken by Jesus, some spoken by disciples, some spoken by apostles. If you would, let's read Isaiah 52 and verse 13. And I found another one while I was reading that I didn't have in my lesson, so I may try to inject that one. So if I stutter around a little bit, you'll know what's going on. Isaiah 52 and verse 13, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, and we'll read 9 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, 9 through 11. "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." Also Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. "Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So we can see from that passage that he has been exalted and extolled and is very high. Now Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 15. "So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told them, they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall consider." Let's compare that with Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 verses 20 and 21. "And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he has not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand." Also Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. Actually, we'll go ahead and start at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Let's turn back to Isaiah now and read Isaiah 53 and verse 1. Isaiah 53 and verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of Jehovah been revealed? Let's look at John chapter 12, verses 47 and 40, 37 and 38, excuse me. John chapter 12, 37 and 38. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of Jehovah been revealed? Also Romans chapter 10 and verse 16. Romans chapter 10 and verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Now let's turn back to Isaiah and we'll read Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we'll read verses 10 and 11. John 1, 10 and 11. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Back in Isaiah, verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Let's look at Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. Matthew 18 isn't going to read what I wanted to read. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a sword and healed all those who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. Also John 19 and verse 7. John chapter 19 and verse 7. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Okay, back to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Look at Hebrews 9 and verse 28. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Also, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. 1 Peter 2, 24 and 25. who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. For you are like sheep going astray, and have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Okay, this is the one where I came up with another one, if I have this correctly. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and Jehovah has laid on him the iniquity of us all. If you would turn to Romans chapter 6, I believe it is. Actually, Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Actually, let's back up and read 21 through 23. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now back to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27. And we'll read 12 through 14. Matthew 27, 12 through 14. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, Do you not hear how many things they testify against you? And he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Back to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 9. Then they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Let's compare that to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 38. Matthew 27, 38. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left. Also verses 57 through 60. 57 through 60. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. The man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. And when Joseph had taken the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of a rock, and he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. Also 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Let's look at John 10 and verse 14. John chapter 10. Verses 14 through 18. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Also, Romans chapter 5 and verse 18. Romans chapter 5 and verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Back to Isaiah chapter 53, this time verse 12. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressor, the transgressors. Let's compare that to Matthew chapter 26, verses 38 and 39. Matthew chapter 26, 38 and 39, and also 42. Then he said to them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And verse 42, And he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Let's also look at Mark 15 and verse 28. Mark chapter 15 and verse 28. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, And he was numbered with the transgressors. I should have read 27 too. With him they also crucified two robbers. So we see that passage again. And Galatians chapter 1. 3 and 4. Galatians 1, 3 and 4. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's go ahead and read the rest of the story this morning. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 27. We'll finish reading since we've talked about Jesus and the prophecy that he came and he died for our sins. I know I went over this last week when I took care of the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning, but it's good to go over it again and again and remember what Jesus did for us. Now we read Matthew 27 verses 12 through 14. But I want to skip over it and start at verse 27. Matthew 27, 27. Then the soldiers and the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Then they spat on him and took a reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. It's also worthy to notice, should have started at verse 26, that they scourged Jesus before they did these acts to him. Verse 32, Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. And when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, and casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him, This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priest, also mocking with the scribes and the elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.' Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour to the ninth hour there was darkness over all the land, and about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?' Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, 'This man is calling for Elijah.' Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. The rest said, 'Let him alone, and let us see if Elijah will come save him.' Jesus, when he had cried out again with a loud voice, yielded up his spirit, and behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those who were with him, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly this was the Son of God.' And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking from afar. Among those were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Now when the evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body be given to him. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of a rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered to Pilate, saying, 'Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, "After 3 days I will rise." Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, "He has risen from the dead," so that the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way and make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know who you seek, Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay." Now what I want you to consider this morning about Isaiah's prophecy, it was given somewhere between 740 and 681 B.C. The other scriptures that we looked at this morning were spoken between 0 and 70 A.D. Now that means they're somewhere between 681 and 810 years from when Isaiah prophesied and when these prophecies were fulfilled. Look at the number of men that wrote of the things that Isaiah spoke about. We looked at Matthew, Mark, John, Luke, Paul, Peter, and the Hebrew writer, and they all tell of this same Jesus that Isaiah spoke of. Let's go back to Acts chapter 8 to finish this lesson this morning. Acts chapter 8. And let's finish what Philip was telling the Ethiopian eunuch here. We'll pick up again in verse 35 and we'll read through 38. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road they came to some water and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now this same Jesus that we talked about this morning is the Jesus who washed the eunuch's sins away by being baptized. And we can still do that today. I'm going to look out over the crowd. There isn't anybody here but the children who haven't been baptized. But we offer the invitation anyway, that if there's someone here who has not been baptized, we would encourage them to come forward at this time and have their sins washed away through baptism. We also know that God is long-suffering toward us. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Turn and read that real quick. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If there's anyone here this morning that has sin in their life that they wish to repent of, and make that known before the congregation, and have the congregation pray to the Father for them, we can help you with that. If there's anything else that might be bothering anyone in this particular time in their life and they need to talk to somebody about it, we'd be more than glad to sit down and talk with anyone and pray for you and pray with you. And we encourage you to do those things if you have a need as we stand and sing the song selected.